Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Let's do some NFL overreaction or reality. Gentlemen, are you ready?
Yes, I am ready now.
Alec, are you ready?
I suppose.
Well, I'm not going to say the next phrase because I don't want to get sued. All right, overreaction or reality. The Cowboys Netflix series felt like an extended PR documentary. Now, these are the words of non-politician Dan Patrick, who said, I'm just not really hearing anything I haven't heard before. If you get Jerry to sign up for 40 hours of being interviewed, I'm going to guess it's probably nothing too spicy or negative. And I have to admit, once the documentary was over, that's what I felt about it as well, because I wish they would have done one specific thing. I wish they would have cut it off at episode 7 and renamed it like How About Them Cowboys, because the vast majority, the first 7 episodes are almost exclusively about like 89 to 96, give or take. And then maybe 20 minutes in episode 8 is about current. So like Corey, you told me you thought maybe it was closer to like 95, 5 old. And that's what I think as well. And I wish they would have cut off the last episode because it didn't really get into any logical depth or anything and just called it How About Them Cowboys.
Okay. I agree with that. And I think the PR part, I'll just say overreaction, because I think there are some people who don't know the Cowboys. They're not everybody is as invested as we've been our whole lives.
Sure.
My kid has no clue about what those Cowboys were like. And so for them, I think like that's a good opportunity. If you want to call it PR, that's fine. But
I do.
I don't.
Well, the reason why I say PR is not that. It's just then in this supposed telling of the Jerry Jones tale,
okay,
they go through his entire life growing up, and then they're like, all these terrible Cowboys people did terrible Cowboys things. But don't worry about all the Jerry Jones stuff. We're not going to get into that.
Yeah.
That's where I think it's PR.
It's still that line from his wife of you just can't live with good. That's a real thing. And there should be more depth about that. And like there absolutely can be more depth about that. I think, Kevin, because this team is so polarizing, this franchise is so polarizing, entertaining.
Sure.
I mean, like, because of what it is.
Sure.
I think they could have made this multiple seasons, honestly, and done more in-depth on certain things. I think there's
like
a
Steve
lot.
Walsh?
For sure.
Yeah.
And again, I think we were told Steve Walsh said he didn't want to. Or,
if that's the case, you know, then totally get it. What are you supposed to do?
But there's, you're right. Like what happened after that with the Campo era? Tell me why that failed. Like, tell me why those, explain that part of the story and that ineptitude, like whatever it's been since then. Why? And you know what? Let's go to that 14 season. Why was that 14 season so fun?
Yeah.
And why did it fall apart? Like there's more of those things. And that's why I say I think it could be multiple seasons. Because I think there's that level of interest in it, too.
And see, from the 682, if he calls it How About Them Cowboys, then that gives Jimmy the credit or all the flowers. I do get that. Then here's my next alternate title for the 7-episode documentary. Because I will tell you this, as the 7-episode documentary, because again, I thought episode 8 was super surfacey for a documentary anyway. I would have called it The Greatest Dynasty That Was and Then Wasn't. Because, like, there's a spot from Michael Irvin, and it actually might have been in episode 8, if I'm going to dump on that one, where he goes, I think we would have won 5 Super Bowls. And then Troy Aikman's like, yeah, maybe, maybe not. But
Troy's always been very adamant of, like, I can't tell you exactly.
So
I
we got to exactly, you know, maybe, maybe not. So we got to move on. But you look at that Cowboys team, they won 3 in 4 years, which is very historic. But also, it feels like it ended and it got cut short. So that would have been my alternate next title for that. And it was very entertaining. But like I said before, it felt very much like Mr. McMahon to me, where I care a lot about this and I didn't learn a lot new. But you're right. There's probably millions of people out there who learned a lot of new
stuff.
Yeah,
probably so. And then there's millions of other stories that we would love be told. I think, Kevin, when the documentary of the Luka trade comes out, that's the one that's going to be the one where we're like, oh, what? They're going to just drop bomb after bomb on us. And we're going to be like, oh, my gosh, it's just too much.
And then Nico said, well, you got to get in shape. And Luka said, or else what? We made it to the finals. And then, you know, oh.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, Alec. Overreaction.
That's stuff we've never heard, right?
Yes, like absolutely.
All the Jerry and Jimmy stuff we already kind of knew for the most part.
By the way, how crazy is it that we know all this stuff already in the non-social media world? Whereas it still feels like in social media time, there are so many unanswered questions about Luka.
Yeah, because nobody wants to say it.
That is a bizarre scenario now that you mention it. Alec, overreaction or reality? The Cowboys Netflix series felt like an extended PR documentary.
I'm going to say reality because I'm just going to simplify it. What is the job and the goal of a PR team or a PR move? It's to get information to people who seek out said information. And, you know, with the NFL and Netflix going into business together, and it's still a relatively new. Yeah.
Much like the WWE and Netflix was. Exactly. It's a very similar track.
It's a really new relationship. So what are they trying to do? They're trying to draw attention. They're trying to draw eyes. So how do you do that? You have to be a little bit polarizing. So you do focus on some of the negatives that happened in the past, but you have to make the present look engaging. You have to make the present look entertaining and look like it's good. Of course, they're not going to talk about how there hasn't been any success in the past, you know, 2 decades plus. They're going to talk about how Jerry's still running the show, right? There's still going to be that intrigue because he's still here and he's still wheeling and dealing. The gambler is still running things. So they need to make that product look like it's the most interesting thing in the world. Like you said, Kevin, with the WWE relationship, what did they do? They made a whole docuseries going behind the curtain and showing stuff that we thought we would never see before. Yeah. And what was the goal of that? It was not to entertain the current fan. It was to get the new fan to come in and say, oh, there's a lot more to this than I expected.
Here's your Wrestling 101. This was, here's your 101 on the most valuable, polarizing, whatever other adjective you want to add to it, franchise of the business we're in.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, Netflix ultimately is also creating their library of NFL content.
Absolutely.
And this is the like a key piece to it. No, that's a big piece of it would be the Cowboys for sure.
NFL overreaction or reality, Abdul Carter will win Defensive Rookie of the Year.
I think that's a reality.
You're taking him over every other defensive rookie.
I mean, you asked the question. You didn't ask about, give me another one. Give me another defensive rookie.
No, that you get one.
Okay.
Abdul Carter, and that's it.
Then yes.
Okay.
And that's the one I think is going to win it.
In your face, Donovan Azaroku.
He's going to be on a really good.
I'm just kidding.
He's going to be on a really good defensive line. He's going to be on a team that I think is better defensively than they get credit for.
Sure.
I mean, like, again, they were able to keep scores relatively low with Daniel Jones giving up.
You'll have your chance to talk about how much you love the Giants later. That's what you heard, right, Alec? That's what I was hearing.
Mm-hmm. It would be fun.
Oh.
Alec, Jalen Carter, overreaction reality, will win Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Abdul Carter.
I'm sorry.
I think Corey's Eagles bias.
It really has. It really did. Thank you.
I only drafted Barkley with my first pick. Other than that, no other Eagles on my team, nor Giants, nor Commanders. I believe.
You believe? Confirm that. Yeah, I think you're lying. I would say reality. I would take him because I don't know. I still don't know what to make of Travis Hunter in terms of his, you know, snap count on each side of the ball and how it's going to look at the NFL level. I know he's going to be a good player, but I don't know if it's going to be flashy. He could be consistent. He could be really consistent as a quarter, but it could be the Byron Jones effect. What if he gets one pick all year? People are going to be like, that was disappointing, but, you know, all of his PFF coverage grades are like the best in the league.
Right.
And everyone's like, well, still, he didn't do anything cool. So, yeah, I think I would take Abdul Carter.
Man, people underrate what did you do that was cool to help push the needle. Because somebody was talking, we were talking about Nathan Eovaldi and like make the run for Cy Young. And you brought up the excellent point that he had the potential to have the fewest innings ever pitch in a full season. And somebody goes, what if he threw a perfect game? And I was like, man, I think if he threw a perfect game, he would win the Cy Young if he kept all the other measurables the same because of that weird cool factor. And you're like, hey, don't forget, he threw a perfect game.
No, I am not a Giants fan. And no, I did not predict the Giants are winning the Super Bowl. I think Jackson Dart is going to be in a blast to watch.
He thinks the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl.
I think Jackson Dart is the future of that franchise.
Oh, my God.
And it's going to be a headache to deal with for a while. I think Malik Nabers is a phenomenal receiver. Like, dude, he had Daniel Jones, and he was getting like 15 targets a game.
All right, Corey, I will adjust.
Abdul Carter's going to be very good.
This is an important business where you need to be able to adjust on the fly. I will adjust. Alec, overreaction or reality, Corey's hero, Jackson Dart, will be throwing passes to his other hero, Malik Nabers, prior to week 6.
He is right there.
Oh, week 6.
Well, he is number 6.
So. By the way, this is a real question that I've reformed specifically for your big blue love.
You know what? Just to, that sounds so weird. Yeah. I think just to dunk on Corey's hopes and dreams, because, you know, I like ruining his dreams. I'm going to say that's an overreaction. I think it's going to be later in the season. I would think like in that 11 to 12 range. I think they're going to give the vets every chance and probably just Russell Wilson. I don't think Jameis sees the field in any important situations, unfortunately, because he's a blast to watch because you don't know what you're going to get. I would say past the halfway point of the NFL season is when Dart would get any kind of chance.
All right. Now, Corey, we get new listeners all the time, so allow me to reset the question. NFL overreaction or reality, your hero, Jackson Dart, will be throwing passes to your other hero, Malik Nabers, before week 6.
I was really hoping Nabers would be available, but
I bet you were.
He was gone so fast. I think you said before week 6.
Correct.
I think it'll be after week 6. But you know,
tough break, buddy.
I really do think injury is going to be the biggest factor for Russell Wilson.
Sure, I agree.
I don't think he's going to be so bad they're going to just move on quickly. But Alec has a really good point. Based on record, at what point do they give up the season? Or decide, man, this kid has the things. He's doing all the things we have. Because from here on, practice, Mickey points this out with Joe Milton, from here on, practice reps are all Russell's. So there's no other opportunity for Dart to prove that he deserves any other time other than what he's already gotten. So I think it's going to be a little later in the season before that happens.
Now, Kenny Pickett was traded to the Raiders for a 5th-round pick. This kind of goes in that vein. Overreaction or reality, Dylan Gabriel will start games for the Browns.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
This year, and Shador will not.
Ooh, I think Shador starts sometime after week 12. And Dylan Gabriel will start as well.
Does Dylan Gabriel get the shot first, you think?
Yes.
Okay.
I think Flacco is going to prove to be boring, and then they'll just be like, all right, what are we even doing here? Stefanski will be like, but again, this is Stefanski maybe trying to hold on to a job, and that's a key factor for him.
I want to say reality, and the fact that Kenny Pickett, yes, got traded again in 2025. Somebody else wanted him. That's incredible. A different conversation for a different time.
That we will get to that conversation in about 30 minutes.
That opens up a window for Dylan Gabriel to get some looks, because I talked about it the other day. I do think they will get to a place where they're like, okay, Joe Flacco's not moving the needle. He's not doing anything necessarily wrong, but he's not moving the needle. He's not elevating the team, so we need to give somebody else a chance.
So quick bonus question to both of y'all on this. I do not believe that this individual will be in the draft, but let's say he was. Would it be insane for the Browns to draft Arch Manning number one since they just drafted two quarterbacks?
Yes, it would be insane.
But they use a third and a fifth. It's not like they used the third and the fifth pick in the draft.
What are they going to do with those other quarterbacks?
I really don't know. Hunger Games feels like the only possible solution at this point.
From the 3-2-1, does Corey have an NFC East jersey?
We need to make that happen.
His Jeagles Manders shirt that he's got going on out there. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how about some AM on the FM?
We got the question of the day, plus sometimes being stubborn works. Next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Continue sending in your ideas for Corey's NFC East shirt. With the latest,
I just wanted to say NFC East on it, and no, just be like that. I am a fan of the NFC East, like Rob Lowe with his NFL hat.
God, what a stupid hat! We prefer the Dalladelphia Go-Manders, or perhaps the Giggle Cow-Manders. Continue to send in your ideas for what that NFC East shirt would look like. But right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the Pride of Mansfield, Texas, 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, sometimes being stubborn can pay off, literally pay off. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. There is a very inquisitive look on the face of Kevin Hageland, and I would like to know why.
Alec, is there ever a chance we'll be able to work in any of the MJF stuff to your intro? I know it's pretty spicy and maybe not for the afternoon hours, but I did want to ask.
I've thought about it. And I thought about it as recently as this morning while I was sitting back here, because I need to go back and grab it. But there was a nice clear cut of Sean Sharif this morning saying the great Alec Medford. And it sounds exactly the way he says the great Bobby Belt in the Below the Belt intro.
Oh,
so I was like, huh. It sounds exactly the same. So I was like, huh, we could implement that at some point. So yes, I try to at least every year or two kind of refresh the intro a little bit, because I have the skeleton of it saved.
Yeah.
So I can kind of just mess with some of the other elements. So yes, that is on the table. That has been considered. And before we get to any of the content I have planned for you today, I do want to throw out there, I'll be at the Rangers game tonight. So if anybody wants to say hi, I'll be hanging out in section 19. So come say what's up. Corey's looking at me like that's crazy.
19's awesome.
Yeah, if you think I paid for them, that's hilarious. That's out of my budget.
No, I'm just saying that's awesome. Those are great seats.
I think that's actually the closest I've ever sat to the field at this ballpark. I had seats right behind the dugout numerous times at the old ballpark, but whenever, you know, you could get them for like $15 because it was 105 degrees outside. Nobody wanted to sit there.
Yeah.
I've sat on the field.
Well, so have I.
Jared's
I was like, what?
Like during the game? I don't think that's allowed.
Maybe one day.
Maybe we'll see you in jail then. The question of the day, gentlemen. We go to the national day calendar. We haven't consulted them in a while. And today is actually a great holiday. It's National Dog Day. So give your pets a little bit of extra love today. But I want to know, because I feel like there's some people, I know Kevin will, that take a lot of pride in certain names that they've given their pets. So what's the best pet name you've ever given? 877-881-1053.
Can I give a shout out to that one Penguins fan that I always thought this was an incredible name. It was Bark Andre Furry. And I just thought you are operating on a different level than the rest of us. But one of our dogs is, in fact, named Boba Fetch. And that was one of the appeals that my wife made when she wanted to get another dog. She said I could name it what I wanted to name it. And I was like, really? And so that's what we came up with.
It's so good.
I wish I would have been good enough to come up with Bark Twain. I always thought that one was a good
one. That is a good one.
I'm gonna go with Landry just because, you know. But we always name our dogs with our last name.
Okay. So I wanted to know how you guys feel then about like the basic human name for the dog. Like our dog's name is Fred or whatever. Do you think
I love that.
Okay.
Yeah. Isn't there a dog named Kevin in one of the Disney movies? Or is that Doug?
Maybe.
Doug's the one on Up, right? Yeah, that's the one. I love the name Doug for a dog. Like it's just, I love it. But I think it's great. I've tried to get Adrian to do regular human names for our pets, and she wants to also, but then we find another name that we like more, you know, and then we're
Even with
Kodak, our the dog we have, we didn't name him that. We put a bunch of names in a hat, and he just happened to walk by and stuck his snout into the hat and drew that name out. We were trying to ask Avery to draw the name. He just did it on his own, so we were like, I guess we got to stick with that then, so here we are.
I love the human names. It was a couple weeks ago, I had a fantasy draft at my buddy Chancellor's house, and I had never been over there before, and he had a little miniature wiener dog running around. And I was like, oh my God, what's his name? And he was like, Joey. And I'm like, I love this dog even more. His name is Joey. This tiny little animal, Joey. That's Joey. Just perfect. I love the human
also,
names.
Also, what did you say your friend's name was?
Chancellor.
Chancellor.
What about Julius Caesar?
I like that one.
That's creative. I'd say my favorite that I've come up with, I always ended up growing up, I lost the naming rights battle to my sister all the time. Mm. She would always get the one that the parents were like, that makes more sense, because I would have the most extreme ideas that probably shouldn't have gone through, but
your sister
you know,
was more of a moderate.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's where we got some of the like either based off of a character or like even a human name. Like I think she named our one cat that we have right now Katie. That's a human name.
Oh.
Yeah, just Katy. But I have a French bulldog that I got to pick the dog, and so I got to pick the name. So I was like, all right, this is my time to shine. It needs to be important. It needs to make a lot of sense. So he has a name that is a triple entendre. His name is Finn. F-I-N-N. Finn. And it's very fitting for such a dumb old dog. He's the best. But Finn Balor, the wrestler. Okay. Like, he was still in the demon character at that time.
By the way, why is there a picture of Finn Balor up at the UTA arena where the Wings play?
Because I can answer that explicitly with great detail because I was there.
Okay, because I just saw, like, if you go out to the arena, obviously they've got Wings stuff, they've got UTA stuff and everything. Yeah. And then I saw a picture of Finn Balor and I was like, wait, what?
In 2017, they did a house show there. Back when they still did US house shows a lot, they did a house show there. My dad and I were there. We were sitting front row VIP, so we were there before the show. We got to meet Seth Rollins and Mickie James.
Oh, cool.
And then, yeah, Finn Balor wrestled there. So I guess that was probably the coolest picture they got that day. And so they like to advertise and promote all the past stuff there. I love that about the CPC, seeing some of the old events that they ran. Yeah, they ran WWE Live there one time, got Roman Reigns to sign my title belt and everything. It was pretty cool. So yes, of course, I was there because, you know, I know how to party. But yeah, Finn for Finn Balor. Finn from Star Wars, because that was recent at the time.
Yes.
And then Finn from Adventure Time, the animated series Cartoon Network. So a triple entendre there for you. So I was like, haha, take that, Dad. I always have the dumb names, right? Nope, he has three meanings. There you go.
I like it.
Yeah.
What about Buzz Pauldron?
That's pretty good.
That is
really I still good. Think I might like Julius Caesar the best. That's top notch.
Reese's Puppy Cups. All right.
This is not a dog from the 903, but I like this. He said he had a steer named Sirloin.
See, that's perfect. Because that's a steak.
Uh-huh.
You're going to eat that steer at some point, right? Do we eat steers?
Huh.
Kevin?
I do not want to engage in this conversation because I have a terrible feeling about where it could end.
They are commonly raised and slaughtered for meat.
Oh. I like from the 972, I have a big boxer named Tucker. See, another just basic name. I love the...
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring Podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring Podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Human names. The creative ones, great, sure. But give me all the human names possible. From the 469, Lieutenant Dan.
Dude, I love that. Because you have to say it like that. Lieutenant Dan. You have to say it.
Let's see.
You see him. As soon as you see him, you have to get all excited and jump in the water.
Okay.
If you haven't seen Forrest Gump, you have no clue what I'm talking about.
Would you, never mind, I want to ask if you would name your dog that if your dog was missing some legs. Would you name your dog Lieutenant Dan?
I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah.
From the 903, Buddha.
Aw, safety.
I like that. Jagon and Terrell chiming in here from the 214 said his chihuahua's name was Juan Bones Jones. That is good. That is good. I like it.
He was supposed to be the best dog, but he had problems.
He's gotten a lot of peed on the carpet.
He ran into some issues.
Not as different as you might think.
A few issues. Yeah, he's been around. From the 469, I have a pug named Frank.
Yeah, and see, with a pug, especially with that face, and you're just like, oh, yeah, that's Frank. And you're like, what?
From the 817, my last dog was Dirk. The one before that was Bob.
Oh, mm-hmm.
What's the origin of Bob?
You know what?
Oh, he's Robert.
You know what's interesting about that right now is Jess's dad will look at Noah and be like, no prob, Bob, or good job, Bob. And now Noah's like, I'm not Bob, I'm Noah. And he just has no idea about little phrases like that. And he's like, I'm Noah. And he just seems very...
Is he mad?
Not mad, but he seems very concerned that Pops does not know his name.
Oh, that's sad.
And he definitely does.
He still can't read. From the 972, they have a black lab retriever that they named Ares after the god of war.
Oh, my gosh.
For a larger dog, that feels very fitting.
Yeah.
I like this one right here. They have a lab named Boondog Saint, and I like that.
That is well
Boondog,
done.
Boondog, come here.
And keep those coming in. 877-881-1053, Twitch and YouTube. For National Dog Day, the best dog name that you take credit for. But guys, Kevin, specifically, I've always attributed you to liking numbers.
That's true.
So I feel like this will please you. South Carolina man played the lottery 162 times, which, you know, people play the lottery a lot sometimes in hopes of winning it big.
Sure.
But not only did he play it 162 times, he bought the same exact ticket 162 times.
Separately?
Yes.
Okay.
And he had a really good feeling about the numbers 1731.
Okay.
So he spent $339 total to play the four same numbers on 162 identical tickets.
I kind of want him to win.
And guess what? He won $811,000.
Awesome.
That winning right there was the largest amount ever paid out to a single player in South Carolina pick four drawing history.
Because he just hammered home that number combination?
Yes. Yeah,
wow.
So he was just so adamant, and they interviewed this man after, who it looks like he remained anonymous, but he did speak, and he said, I just felt good about the numbers. So he just kept on playing until he won. After $339, I would say that's pretty good return on investment.
Hell yeah.
And I would also say that, hey, sometimes being stubborn works.
I like it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where, well, At least a lot of other teams got deals done. Next on The Fan.
Jerry Judy's been quiet so far. Thompson blown up again, and it's Trey Hendrickson, the NFL's leader in sacks.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're about 3 hours and 16 minutes away from rosters needing to be locked in at 53. Though, again, as we've discussed throughout the day, that is just kind of phase one that goes along with this.
What's phase two?
Phase two will be taking a look at all the other players that other teams have cut. Phase three, I think, will be now that it's set, can you move some people off of the roster and back onto injured reserve, knowing that they'll miss some time or in a couple of other different spots and vice versa.
Phase four, win Super Bowl.
Yeah. Phase 4,000. I'm just kidding. Maybe it'll happen this year. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip it and rip it.
And I don't feel like this is a controversial opinion by any means, but like, if you don't have Micah Parsons, you're definitely not going to win the Super Bowl. I know the counter argument is going to be Micah Parsons is under contract, and I definitely hear you on that because that is factually accurate. But it appears as though we continue on another day with no deal getting done, and now's the time. I think some people will say maybe tomorrow is kind of what they feel is the drop-dead date to truly see Micah out there in game one against the Eagles, or like a fairly close to full version of Micah, but still nothing there.
Yeah, I guess that next part of it is the Cowboys have 3 years of more control if they really want to, and that's going to be a problem for you. Now, it's not good for the Cowboys down the road for other free agents and, you know, for the league. It's not a fun thing, but this is one of those things where Mike is very ahead of schedule and he feels like he belongs in that area where he can be ahead of schedule on this. And because in the past, NFL owners have said, all right, we'll work on extensions and things like that. That's why they're in the situation. Like, what did they do with Trey Hendrickson? Gave him a raise?
Yeah.
Instead of giving him a contract or an extension, they said, just we'll give you more money.
Correct. He got $14 million. He was due, I believe, $14 million. It got bumped up to $29 million with another million available as a bonus if he plays at least 60% of the team snaps.
Yeah, and I like that, actually.
Yeah.
I like that kind of, I know he's not happy about it probably, but he got
I wonder about that.
He got
Well,
what's the key in these negotiations? Nobody's going to walk away from the table getting everything they want.
Sure. And I think one of the things, this goes back to something that Sean said last week when he was asking about how the math is mathing with the Cowboys, saying that what they offered Micah was far more. I think they have underestimated what those future franchise tags will come in at. I think they have
Cowboys.
Okay. I think they have underestimated what those numbers are going to lock into because of some of the market explosion that you've seen from that.
You
position.
Think the market's going to continue to go that direction? It's not going to drop anytime soon.
No, not at that position. Well, honestly, it feels like most NFL positions not there. You know, another thing that we didn't mention about the rosters moving around is just keep an eye on Sig and Goodwin getting like quote unquote cut to make room for some players, because the injured reserve designation is only leading up to cut down day. Once you hit that, then you can make some magic happen. So let's say like your long snapper and CJ, you're like, oh no, we had to cut them. That's really sad. And then you can keep, you know, whether it's a Mafa, whether it's somebody else on the roster. And then guess what? Once that's locked in, all of a sudden, oh, you know what? We really need our long snapper and CJ back. And oh, these players are hurt. So now they can go to the injured reserve. But we didn't do that right before the cutdown because that would be cheating. But, like, essentially all the teams do it. It's not just the Cowboys. So just keep an eye out on that.
Kevin, something stuck out to me from that documentary that we talked about earlier, that we won't name it. But How much was Emmett asking for? Was it 18, 18 and a half?
Yes. That might have been the stupidest part of the documentary in my head, because they wasted all of that time. He wanted 18.
Okay.
The Cowboys offered 9.
And they got 13.6, which was $100,000 more.
Yeah, the exact middle point would be 13 and a half.
So the highest contract right now is Barkley's at 20 per year.
Okay.
McCaffrey's at 19. Derrick Henry's at 50. You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Is that, like, he wanted 18 at that time. The number on running backs hasn't gone dramatically up, has it?
It has.
It's averaging out around.
I don't mean to undercut your point. I believe that was 18 total over 4 years.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't believe it was 18 per year.
Okay, fine.
If I recall correctly. I'm so sorry.
Fine.
I'm very sorry about that. All right, let's go from that to tough day for Mike, as the Bills did cut Shane Buechele. If you recall, we had an interview with Clark Hunt at the Super Bowl where he kind of sort of insinuated, if came just short of flat out saying, do you kind of hope somebody gets hurt so Shane Buechele can get in the game?
And he said,
not
no.
really.
The no hell comprende. Are you? No, why are you even saying this? I don't want anybody to get hurt.
Oh.
And Mike just, he was like, but why not? Like, he could see in his face, like, oh, come on.
And I
play
said,
along with me.
I said Hendrickson was at $14 million with a $16 million raise. I got that backwards. $16 million with a potential for a $14 million raise. He's getting $13 million extra and has another million more that he could get. Now, Alec, you mentioned this earlier, all the people who want to continue to trade for Kenny Pickett. We mentioned Kenny Pickett went to the Raiders for a fifth round pick. Consider this. In the last 30 years, there was only one player who had been traded 3 times within his first 4 NFL seasons. And that was Sam Howell, who hit the market on Sunday. And then the second player was Kenny Pickett yesterday. So it hadn't happened in 30 years. And then Sam Howell and Kenny Pickett, it happens to both of them in the span of 2 days, both of which were higher drafted quarterbacks that somebody thinks they can fix. There's been lots of people who have been waived that nobody wanted.
Yeah, I was thinking Brock Osweiler, because didn't he have that thing where he went and signed with the Texans and then got traded to Cleveland and then got traded again, and it was like, okay, and now he's done.
Yeah.
He had this stupid contract that people were like, why would people pay him that much?
I mean, I would take that.
Because he must have learned so much from Peyton Manning.
Oh, I don't know if I believe that is the case. By the way, if we're talking about the injured reserve and how you can set some of that stuff up, Joe Mixon has gone to the injured reserve to return list, which means he will be out for the first 4 games of the season. Let's go from that to the top 20 players in all of football. We've been in the top 100 NFL countdown, and now we start with the top 20. I got 4 for you. Amon-Ra St. Brown is up to the 20th best player in the NFL.
First receiver I drafted in fantasy league.
Ooh. I'm surprised. Were you bummed about not being able to draft this next person? Number 19 on the list is Jalen Hurts.
No, whoever drafted him drafted too early.
Okay.
I waited till way late to get Baker.
Then there's Derek Stingley at 18.
And he's good.
Dexter Lawrence at 17.
Dexter Lawrence is fantastic.
He is.
When it comes to defensive tackles, like, that dude is an absolute monster. Plays for the Giants.
Yeah.
And that's what Michael wanted, right? He was like, get me a Dexter Lawrence. And they said, all right, we got you, Mozzie. And he was like, hell yeah, let's go. And then he played behind him for a little bit. It was like, this is ridiculous. What are we doing?
Now, I apologize if I've spent too much time on this story. It just fascinates me to no end. Kellen Moore continues to put off the real decision to be made by waiving Jake Haener, because that was the issue they needed to deal with. He still has not picked a starting quarterback, because really, what's the point?
That being said, remember Jake Haener's picture?
Yeah.
Yes.
Was it like a fashion picture or something?
Yeah, he looked like he'd done. What was it at the mall that they used to have?
Glamour shots.
Yeah, it looked like a glamour shot picture. He looked so handsome.
Right, now I'm going to type in Jake Haener glamour shots. Yeah. I'm not saying it was a glamour shot.
No,
but
it looks like the way he's looking.
Oh, goodness.
It's a model picture.
It's the one where he's holding the front of his jersey and he's looking. He's like, hey, I could be the mistake you make tonight. All right. Yeah. Was that not the vibe you took from that, Alec? It was,
but I'm saving that.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Whoops, my bad. Well, that was the vibe that I took from that as well. All right. Jacoby Myers requested a trade almost at the same time that Las Vegas agreed to bring back Amari Cooper. Did you forget for half a second that Amari Cooper still existed in the NFL?
No, I did not, because it seemed like every week somebody would bring that up on the fan text. Mm. Like, why aren't the Cowboys looking at Amari Cooper? I'm like, what?
They could trade a fifth round pick for him.
Yeah, that's how much he was worth, obviously. But that was, I wasn't surprised by that. And then people over the fantasy weekend were like, where the hell is Amari Cooper? And now you know where he is. And it's going to be, I'm sure he's going to be healthy the whole season. Everything's going to work out for him.
Oh, we're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's going to be a packed segment. The DeGrom versus the Angels curse continues. Fake Babe Ruth. And I think Corey's got a story for us as well. All of it next right here on The Fan.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.